Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Network is not responsible for the views and opinions of the guests or hosts of this show. The views and opinions expressed in this show are strictly the views and opinions of guests or hosts of this program.
Hello, welcome. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Lisa Harrison, and this is this week's opt-in show. I have to let you know straight up that not just Blog Talk Radio, but Shoutcast, Talk Shoes, and several others, the broadcast alternative news, views and opinions are being attacked and have been for several weeks. That's why we've had the issues that we've had with just about all of our shows on the 5D network on Blog Talk. It's happening out all over. There was an email this morning that the opt-in website had been attacked. I don't actually know if that was a joke or not, or just to get my attention, but it may have been. And people are reporting attempts to hack into blogs. So it's on. The games have begun big time. So we really do hope that we keep you. And if we don't, if for some reason we lose broadcast, I'm actually recording the call personally. And as long as that continues to work, if need be, we'll keep talking and we'll just post the recording as is. So if that's what needs to happen. So once again, thank you. I just got a kiss. I'd like to introduce the rest of the opt-in crew, which is Chris in Melbourne.
Morning, everybody. Fantastic day. And yes, the views and opinions expressed in this show are the views and opinions of the hosts.
That's right.
As they are. And yeah, look, I just have to bring up another piece of interference. Young Scott, who's you know, closely associated, obviously, with this grassroots movement that we're all in, was at a session last night with a friend who actually does some channeling, and she got hacked too. She was interfered with by someone else, and she required some assistance from other people that were there to actually eliminate the assistance. So it's happening at all levels here, folks.
Oh, interesting.
Tis indeed. But I'm well, and I hope everybody else is too.
We are. Well, I am. Well, I can speak for anybody else. I am.
I am.
Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Welcome, everybody.
You're always pretty good.
Yeah.
I was going to say, when is Bob not doing pretty good?
Yeah, and how are you, Brian?
I'm also pretty good. I'm glad you didn't refer to me as the usual suspects this evening. I appreciate that, and I'm grateful for the double disclaimer. I will triple that disclaimer that my views and opinions are only that of my own. Thank you for that as well, Chris. But happy to be here and holding space for a excellent signal here so we can have a full call this time around.
Lovely.
It actually is sounding very good at the moment, so let's keep that intent going, folks, and just eliminate all interference.
Hey, don't jinx it, Chris.
No. We're not talking about jinxing. We're talking intention here. There's no fear here. There's only intention.
Yep.
Very good.
Okay, we're going to start off with just some website updates. There is a new section on the website called the Galactic Friends page, somewhat in honor of the release of Sirius, the movie happening today, as well as bringing openly what has been going on behind the scenes here with a group connected to a young guy called Julian. And so you can go to that page and listen to some recordings of conversations that have taken place. That's all good fun. So that's there. We also need to put yet another call out for a WordPress maestro. So if you do have WordPress skills and you have the time and the passion and you wish to support the one people of the world in having a home on the internet, we desperately need your help. So if you could go to the optin.com website, to the volunteers page, I'm sure that's all. That's where you can put your express your interest, so to speak. What else is there? We've had lots of questions around courtesy notices because, as I'm seeing in the chat room, you guys all know that OPPT has been reconciled, the former OPPT. And so the question around that comes up is, are courtesy notices still even valid then? And the answer is absolutely yes. This doesn't affect the documents, it doesn't affect the filings, they're there in perpetuity. And the courtesy notice, I'll state this really, really clearly, is just that. It's a letter stating and pointing people to those documents for educational purposes. And also there is, it's more weighty than that, obviously. Would you call it an offer to contract? Would that be the easiest way to put it, Chris?
Yes, it is. It's an offer. It's offering a contract. If you want to continue to interact with me, here are my terms and conditions. It's really very simple. So it's a combination. It's an education.
And it only applies to the two people named on it.
Yeah, it's between you and another individual. Just, I mean, we've talked about this a lot before, but it's an individual communication between you and the person that has affected your measurable energy, if you want to use a term specifically that comes out of the courtesy notice, by either unlawfully requesting money or by some other action that's not in line with your free will choice, then, you know, this is very much an individual action that you're taking, and that's why it needs to be done with the right intent. And we've got some quite interesting feedback from a courtesy notice incident that actually happened here in the state of South Australia. Do you want to speak about that now, Lisa?
Yes.
Before we depart the subject of whether the courtesy notices still stand, the terminology that actually was used was audited and reconciled. And that is the UCC system was audited and reconciled. So actions within it just stand as they are in perpetuity, but from the perspective of the former trustees of the former OPPT, the actions or the effects of them are in perpetuity. They will always have the effect that they were originally intended for. And the effect was quite interesting in this South Australian incident, Lisa. Do you want to go through that briefly?
Yes, I will. And I'll put the link to it as well in the chat room. Now, if you want to be in the chat room for this show, you need to go to freedomreigns.us and click on the chat link. I've just put it in there now. It's from a gentleman called Chris in South Australia. And he had something very exciting to share. On Tuesday, the 16th of April, he sent three emails out containing a courtesy notice personally addressed to the Police Commissioner of South Australia, the Sheriff of South Australia, and the Attorney General of South Australia. He also included the OPPT foreclosure flyer and a PDF containing documents on the Commonwealth of Australia, USA, the company registered on the SEC. And he didn't expect a response, but on the 20th, a detective turned up on his door who was sent there by his superior to have a chat. He wasn't in trouble. He was asked to go and visit Chris and get some more information and some clarity. Now, the questions that came out of the policeman were sort of typical, you know, like, is this a cult? Are you guys dangerous? Are you, you know, sort of forming a militia or something? Are you going to participate in civil unrest? Those kinds of things. They were just sort of checking that out. But at the same time, Chris and he had managed to have a brilliant conversation educating this police officer on many facets of the world he lives in that he was unaware of. And I've put the link in there. It's a great conversation. I won't go into it into too much detail, but the cop's concerns were, is there any chance there will be any violence, protesting, aggression or unlawful behaviour as a result of this group, as he called it? Chris explained no. Do we, whom believe in the OPPT, meet up in groups and discuss it? to which I mentioned some of my friends are as interested and intrigued as I am by it, and sometimes I may catch up and discuss it with them, and other times we don't. There is no take me to your leader. He was concerned that people who believe in this idea may start to abuse the law and stop paying fines and be disrespectful towards authority, and even queried if it was a system of belief, not unlike a religion. And Chris had to explain that no negative intent, excuse me, as everyone in this group is aware, are connected to the OPPT. I mentioned I'm a firm believer in karma, and then I went on to explain the current social structure of debt slavery we're all a part of, at the hand of the corporate world, in particular the banking system. And I made a point, with all due respect, that it is much more intelligent than any religious following. They did talk for quite some time. And Chris came away feeling amazing. And this cop went away with a lot to think about and a lot to research on his own and a lot to report to his upline, I would imagine.
Yeah, so that's it. Go ahead.
Oh, this is the perfect result. You know, it's what the courtesy notices were intended to do, was to get people asking questions, thinking, researching, handing it up through their system.
Yeah, those sorts of encounters are what Daryl calls an IED, an improvised educational device. And it, you know, Chris has obviously been following the progress of this movement and has been absorbing it and getting his intent right, and came away from that situation with a really positive outcome. And so, you know, full marks to Chris for his efforts there. That's really, really an excellent. And I'm really glad he actually has communicated that to us, because I suspect this is going on in variations of what he actually described all over the place as a result of this. In fact, Scott Bartle's in an interesting position at the moment with the Customs Department. He's been using his original process, which essentially was about forcing them to acknowledge that they refused to acknowledge that the government was a corporation. And as soon as he actually converted that to a courtesy notice, in the sense that he actually ceased to push that line and put a courtesy notice at them about a week and a half ago, and instantly got a response, which he's considering his options on at the moment. And that was most interesting, because the other action has been going on for 18 months, and he gave them a courtesy notice and bang, 2 weeks later they're doing something. So, you know, we'll hear more about that as time goes on, but they are paying attention. There's obviously information passing around inside the system. So the energy that we're transmitting through, the intent we're transmitting through, needs to be at the right level. And I think that's what Chris achieved. So,
now, what I've just realised also is that post on Facebook is in the Opt-in Australia group, which is a closed group. So if Chris, if you're listening, could you please submit your story to the optin.com website? There's a section there where you can actually put your courtesy notice stories in. So that everyone can see it, because it would be great. Or at the very least, let me know if I can pass it on so it can be put up on the website. With your permission, I'd like that. Okay, there's one more Facebook announcement to make. Someone's asked me to make. Where is it? Okay. This is coming out of the Opt-in Australia site. Different one, actually. Someone wants to put together a marketing campaign which reaches those outside the Truther community. So we're looking for... What's he looking for? Sorry, I'm trying to find it. It keeps moving on me. So he would like to get together some people with experience in marketing and perhaps IT... for videos such as viral videos or posters, TV ads, flash mobs. So if you've got experience in marketing, he would like to speak to you. And the contact for that would be an email address, which is ckaraten@yahoo.com. So if you've got experience in marketing, you want to do something in support of spreading the word of OPP, the former OPPT, I can't even say that.
Yep.
Then that's the email address.
Okay.
And the other thing would be, you can go to the Facebook page, which is, it's called OPPT AU Admins. I don't know what that's all about exactly. But that's the request. So, marketing specialists, please.
Okay. May I comment on that for one moment, Lisa?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. The term the former OPPT is clumsy and confusing. And one of the things I'm going to be putting forward today is that we clearly make a decision to use the term the one people. Okay, I think the term that everybody agrees on is going to be something that resonates with people, and in marketing terms, this is called a rebranding moment. Okay, the process that we've been led through for nearly 4 months now has been stunningly complicated and exciting, and it's attracted a huge audience. And this is the next phase. This is what the OPPT, the original One People's Public Trust's intent was to draw people together, form a grassroots movement that, which under its own momentum, could move forward and get the job done of literally freeing us from the system we've been living in for a very long time. Now, that brand, this is the personal view of the participants in this radio show, this is my personal view, is that the brand and the name and the intent should be the One People, because it's actually a name and it's a statement of intent as well, and I really like it, and I really want to just ask everybody to convert over if you possibly could ASAP in all your communications. When you're talking to one another, talk about the One People, not the OPPT, because it's done its job. It's got us to this stage. This has never happened before, and we just want to keep pushing it forward. So that marketing campaign, brilliant. Push forward. I'll probably be following up you guys to see what you've got in mind, and we'll see where that goes. And just one other thing. I did a session yesterday on a radio program called 100th Monkey Radio, which was very good, with Tom and Ramon, and they allowed me to have a three-hour rant and tell the story as I see it. It's all my personal journey through this whole thing, from when I became aware of it in December through to now. And quite a bit of detail in there. It's quite a long one, but I can recommend you actually take a look at that. Particularly good if you just want to point someone at a one thing that gives an overall view, and that's why it's 3 hours, folks. There's actually a lot happened. That will be very useful. In fact, we're going to do a version of that today, are we not, Lisa? We're going to do a summary today of kind of the game to date, because this is one of those moments where we take up the reins and move off. So let's talk about that.
Well, I know that a lot of you, when wanting to spread the word and educate others, what do? You ask them to listen to two-hour radio programs every week since December or January. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of information to bring people up to speed. So what we're going to attempt to do today is give you a concise recap of the events as they unfolded from our perspectives, so that you've got something short and sweet and concise to send people to. And if you're having trouble in hearing the show, just refresh the page on Blog Talk. I'm seeing that in the chat room. So that's the plan for the next hour, and then we'll take calls. There's not that many of you with your hand up, so sorry, train's going past.
We'll just talk amongst ourselves while Lisa is deafened by passing trains. It's not Thomas the Tank Engine, unfortunately.
And if you miss the first hour, the parrot that's in the background of this call, he's going to be reciting the second hour what we talked about.
I was wondering whether you could hear him. He's been very vocal this morning. Okay, so, guys, what happened? The story so far, and we want to, along the way, clarify some terms, clarify positions, clarify some perhaps anomalies in people's understanding, and hopefully that'll happen along the way. Now, what is OPPT? Well, we know what it was, and we do know that it's been reconciled. And essentially, from what my own journey on this has been, I think I woke up to a Skype call from Chris and Bob on the Boxing Day, perhaps, or the day after Boxing Day, saying, have you seen this? Have you seen this? I was like, guys, no. It's early in the morning. Yesterday was a rather large day. I haven't seen anything yet. And they directed me to the One People's Public Trust 1776 website. And we then spent the next hour or so going through it all and going, oh my God, the world changed. This has happened. This is, and our response to those documents was just, we all had the same response. We all felt the truth of them. We felt the power of them. We felt the multidimensional, energetic rush of them. And within a couple of days, I managed to get myself... Oh, we also listened to Brian's interview with Heather. And within a couple of days, I managed to get in touch with Heather. And thanks to KP, actually. And started a dialogue with Heather. And at that point, I was already in contact with Adnan Sarkli. And felt that, okay, here we have the guy who claims to be the owner of the corporate world and the woman who claims to have just foreclosed on it. I think we should get them talking. So I attempted to do that. However, there was a fair bit of resistance and anger from Adnan. And in a Skype text dialogue between the three of us, with me sort of acting as a go-between, sort of got them to have a conversation of sorts. And that conversation, Heather being, you know, everything is transparent and open, shared that with Brian and American Kabuki. And which they promptly posted because that's the that's what they do when they get information from Heather.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
They just do it.
Oh, and, that makes me sound so bad.
Well, no, it wasn't. No, I mean, you had everything is perfect as always, and you know that when you get information from Heather, it's always comes with the okay to share it. So that's what you did.
Just so she don't publish my diary in case I accidentally send it to you, Brian.
By the way, everyone, that was my first introduction to Lisa, and I was a big fan of hers. And so my first dialogue back and forth with her was trying to apologize for not asking for permission for a conversation that she shared. And so, and the rest is history. So once again, I apologize for that, Lisa.
It was funny, though, because I was out for the day. I had no idea this had happened. And I get a phone call from Chris, and he can't even say hello. He's laughing so hard. And I was like, yep. What's going on? He said, you haven't been on your computer, have you? I said, no. And he proceeds to tell me that this conversation between myself, Heather, and Adnan had gone viral. And my first reaction was like, what? And then within a couple of minutes, I start laughing. And... because I'd already gotten to the point where things that seem at first to be perhaps not so good turn out to be okay. And so I immediately came home, got in touch with AK and Brian and went, what the? and these guys, you know, that began our relationship. And we connected instantly. So I wasn't angry for very long. It didn't last long.
In fact, that your stuff has... this whole process has been punctuated by short and very pointed conversations that Lisa's had that have gotten posted and gone viral. It's probably three times or maybe four times that's happened.
I know, it's funny.
Oh, yeah, that article I put together went viral within hours.
And if you want to see it, it's still on American Kabuki.
I'll find it and I'll post the I'll post it in the chat.
Okay.
Seems like... anyhow.
So that's my side of the story up to that point. What about you, Chris?
I was on the other side of all the sidelines with Lisa's initial forays with Heather and Adnan, and it was very, very interesting because Adnan kind of revealed a lot about himself in a very short conversation at that point in time, because we were trying to work out exactly who he was and how he fitted in. And the interesting thing was that it really only took us until the first few days of January to get to the point where we said, well, we need to do this, we need to make the show about this because this is unique nothing like this has ever appeared on our horizon, on our radar before, and we're pretty, you know, pretty excited about it, obviously, but all of us felt we just had to put this forward to everybody, which is, it span off into this show, as well as the Collective Imagination, because we started, I think, on the Collective Imagination, talking about it for I think maybe two shows before the second show started.
Well, what happened was because we ended with the Collective Imagination, we ended the show last year with the count, not only the countdown, but also in the weeks leading up to that, it was all about putting our collective intent into what 2013 would look like, what we wanted 2013 to look like. What did we want our lives and the world to look like post this, you know, much talked about date of the 21st of December 2012. So when the OPPT went public, that gave us, you know, like an answer. And our first show back on the 8th of January was introducing it to the whole Collective Imagination audience. And I think we had Dee on that show. And we said, basically, guys, you did it. You know, you changed the world.
We'd already
fulfilled itself.
Yeah, we'd already worked out the significance of the documents, because it really didn't take too long to examine them as a body of work and see the depth that was actually there. Because most of the remedies that occur out in the free man movement with inside the system are all, you know, 1, 2, 3 documents, that's it. You know, they attempt to execute a certain thing in a certain context. This was absolutely global. As soon as we started looking at it, we realized it was actually literally taking the system on at a global level with the intention of, and effect, in fact, of terminating the whole damn thing. And, you know, what else has appeared that even, you know, might have had a chance? Well, nothing's even appeared, hence the excitement. And that sort of week between the Christmas and the New Year was supposed to be nice and quiet and filled with, you know, just relaxing things like family and day trips and gardening. And no, it was spent poring over these very, very new documents to me. You know, it's the UCC filing system was new to me. That was a pretty intense period of time. And then the shows began, and it actually built from there.
What about you, Bob?
Well, for me, it was, I don't know if anyone else feels the same way, but I feel as though I was being guided along the whole way. You know, there was I guess starting at the countdown from December 12th to the 25th, that was some of the most fun I had.
Me too.
You know, there was so much anticipation being built up on that Collective Imagination show where we were putting our intent out. Because we knew that it was coming down to the end of December. And at the time, we were very much involved with the Divine Providence, because at that time it seemed to be the only solution that we had available to us, that we could get some funding and get our projects going. That's what our main focus was. Well, at least my main focus was, to get these projects going, get educating the world and everything. And then December 25th happened. Well, actually, before December 25th, I had listened to that interview that you had done, Brian, that you had posted with Poof.
Ah, yes. Yes, we can't forget that.
And that interview, that was the first exposure I had to American Kabuki website, as a matter of fact. And so I was looking, and I'm trying to put all the pieces together, because at the time, remember, Lisa, I was trying to buy a car.
Yes, and, I remember.
I had thought I had crossed all my T's and dotted all my I's and did everything I was supposed to do, and it wasn't working. And so I was looking to find out why my promissory note that I had put together wasn't being accepted. And called the Federal Reserve, got all the way up to the U.S. Treasury, and somehow the accounts were not there. Or at least were not in the system, or were not showing in the system. I'm like, what has gone on? So I started going to the American Kabuki website, and then I saw the documents, the disclosure, And I called Chris and told Chris, have you seen this? And then we sat and we listened in that interview with Heather and who was that with?
The one I did with Heather?
Yeah, was that the one you did with Heather?
Heather and me, and then Dee popped in somewhere in there, too.
Well, after that interview, a lot of people were scratching their heads. And I think I came in a conversation with you and Trevor, Chris, and you guys were talking about the interview you had just listened to and how it was vague and everything. But I had always gone by, like, what I felt coming from my heart, and I'm like, this is amazing. This is the most amazing thing I've heard. You know, everything's already done. And in a matter of, I guess, weeks, we had gone from the idea of this 10 to 15 year plan of transforming the world to, okay, we've got a year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So much was compressed in that amount of time. You know, it was like every other day seemed like a week's worth of, and now I can't even think, you know, past 3 days ago. That seems like, you know, last century almost. You know, so much can change so quick. But after I had discovered about the disclosure and everything, and that, you know, the closure of the corporate structure and the banking system, I think it probably took about 2 weeks of going where to let it actually sink in to what it actually meant and what possibilities now laid before us, you know, essentially the whole slate being wiped clean, just that the world hadn't found out about it. And something inside me told me about these documents that this was, and I think I'm on record saying, this is the most important thing happening on the planet right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is there, you know, I've never felt that from reading some documents.
If you weren't on the record before, you're definitely on the record now. Continue.
It grabbed me, really. It was. Even though I didn't understand a lot of the language that was being used, I understood the sense of what was being said. And the ramifications of that over the next couple of weeks really started to sink in. And everybody, I mean, we've had to switch gears almost on a daily basis, you know, to conform our ideas and our understanding of what we thought was going to happen and to actually what was in front of us. And I think that reconciliation of, like, a lot of the old paradigm ideas and transitional ideas that we had to be completely rethought and sometimes completely discarded, you know, in favor of what was now present before us. And so there was a lot of speculation, you know, a lot of distrust, you know. Very, very early on, I in my interactions with Adnan, you know, I think it was you or Chris, I can't remember. I said, just something doesn't feel right. Something does not feel right about that whole scenario that he was painting out.
And, yeah, guys, we're gonna have to keep this.
We are
more on track if we're gonna get through it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, essentially, you know, we've flipped in and we've moved, you know, I guess our own ideas and everyone else's that's been following to the understanding of who we really are, what it is that, you know, this means for us, you know, the destruction of hierarchy and what freedom that allows us to do and spreading the word. So...
Yeah.
That's my journey up until now.
Well, let's have a look at the journey of what actually took place. So we've got these documents that come out on the 26th of December, basically detailing with the Paradigm Report. So there was an investigation by a large group of people, but ultimately it came down to three who were prepared to bond themselves by signing the bond and oath to the One People's Public Trust. And those three people were Heather, Randall, and Caleb. Even though there was a, you know, there were a lot of people along the way who helped with this, it only came down to those three. So there was a series of documents that were released that showed an investigation took place, and it resulted in the absolute understanding and paper trail proof of the fraud of the system, and that there was a conspiracy, there was collusion between banking, judicial, government and corporate entities, and that it was so corrupt and so endemic that it could not be fixed, and that the only way to move forward was to shut it down and create something new. Does that summarize it correctly?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that towards the end of the investigation, their focus went from simply detailing corruption and trying to work out exactly what was going on to, okay, which part of the system do we actually have to focus on so that with one particular movement, one particular, call it an attack, one particular decisive action, that the system could simply be ceased. And that was identified as being centered around the BIS, Bank of International Settlements, and secondarily the UN as being the two pivotal organizations that
there's really three heads to this beast, which is the UN, the Bank of International Settlements, and the UCC. And the UCC was able to be used to cut the heads off the other two.
That's good description, Lisa. I like that one.
Okay.
And it's interesting to note, most of the people who came across this information did not question whether that should have been done, did not question whether they were actually guilty. But the biggest question I think that was in most people's minds was, is this too good to be true? Am I being fooled again?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah. So, Lisa, press on with the description of what the trustees did, having bonded themselves into the trust.
Well, they did something that, from my own experience and research, no one had ever done before, which is they put themselves into a position of full responsibility and liability for what they were doing. Everybody else down every other modality, technology, whatever you want to call these things, were doing it, they did it in such a way as to put themselves as the leader of yet another hierarchy and still continuing to hide behind, in some respects, corporate or other forms of insurance to protect themselves. These guys did it completely openly, transparently, and in full responsibility and liability. That's what impressed me almost above all else.
Mm-hmm.
That was the difference for me. So what really happened then? What happened next was, I think, without tooting our own horn too much, but I think the collective imagination show, and then that blossoming into the opt-in show and the opt-in Facebook campaign that we started on the Collective Imagination Show did a lot to spread the word about this. And what happened after that was a movement. People just came, they opted in. They got on board. They started listening. They started researching. And everybody, because everybody was is the One People, started doing and being, in Heather's words, in a whole variety of ways. We have a radio show, so that was our way of supporting this. Other people started up blogs, started writing articles, started creating videos. It became a movement.
And this is important to note, that it was people. Because I remember this period of time very clearly. And, websites were popping up all over the place, Facebook pages, videos, and I was like, oh my goodness, this thing is just like going viral. People were grabbing hold of it, that they resonated with the the spirit that was behind the documents, or whatever it was about what they had heard that clicked with them, and they were just taken off with it. And as I recall, we were being accused of all kinds of things. Oh, you put this side up, and we're like, we didn't do it. We just put the word out. People are doing what they will with that information. And a lot of people were doing some amazing things. You know, well, you must be part the big one was you must be part of the cabal because you've got all of these real slick videos. And guys, you put together some fantastic stuff. I'm still floored with all that slick videos and some of those websites and how you know how they have 1,000 websites in 2 weeks. You know they're being funded by the cabal. And I'm like,
well, you know, the tipping point for me was when I made the announcement of the OPPT ground crew email and put that out there for anybody that felt that they had a skill that they wanted to offer. I mean, it was insane.
I know, you were overwhelmed.
Oh, my God. I mean, thank God for Holly. I don't know if she's listening to this call or not, but it became more human resources than I ever, because that's really what it was, is the resources that beings were bringing to the table, and it spanned the map. I know marketing. I'm a writer. I'm a blogger. I'm a musician. I'm a farmer. I just want to help, and I don't have a skill that you might be able to use, but if you know of anything that's general, call me, and I'll help. And I had never seen anything like that before in my entire life. It was just so overwhelming.
And then came the big one, the document, which I can't even remember what it's called, but the one that actually closed or completed the
reconciliation.
The reconciliation, yeah. Of the, what am I talking about? The duality, the experiment.
The duality, yeah. Look, before we jump there, look, I'd just like to, just because if we're going to put this session forward as one to point people at, let's just go through the process that the core set of documents followed, just so it's on the record for people who can listen to it, because it leads to the point that you just brought up, that okay. December 10th filing that wasn't released with the initial batch, and we understood why, later in the piece. But the once the three trustees had bonded themselves into the 1776 trust, and that created a lot of controversy because people saw why use that trust, why use a trust, you didn't ask us, etc. And there's lots of interesting perspectives on that. Most of them come from a straight trust law / kind of legal historical viewpoint. The point for it, and I've actually had this discussion with Caleb on Skype, actually Caleb and Randall, both of them chimed in. I said, why did you pick the 1776 trust? And because it was significant in that it was one of the first public trusts ever created that was really an I am statement and actually stood for the people. And it was only actually in play for maybe two decades, and it was shut down, I think personally, by the controllers because they didn't want it in action. And when I say shut down, all that happened was the trustees withdrew, and it was simply left. So it'd been sitting there for 200 years, this I am statement that in a philosophical and metaphysical and energetic sense was the only statement that's in the public awareness, which began to negate what the Catholic Church did with their Sestri KV Trust, which was basically to declare they owned us. Okay, this was counter to that. So they took the trust up again simply by bonding themselves back in as trustees in full liability and responsibility and proceed from there. And the original form of the trust was then shifted so that everyone on the planet was in it and their bodies were registered as owned by them. Okay, that's one of the procedures they carried out. We actually are registered in UCC Trust as being the owners of our individual bodies in perpetuity. Okay, so does that sound like slavery to you folks? I think so. And they introduced the concept that the planet itself was part of the trust and the creator was part of the trust. So those were the participants in the trust, the people as beneficiary. This is my view, personal view. Creator is grantor, and obviously planet as also a beneficiary. If you want to put it in terms of you know, roughly in terms of trust structure. So the proceeding from there, they then made a claim on the powers that were. They lined up the powers that were as an entity they called the debtor and made a claim against it. And it was actually a criminal accusation in a procedure that in UCC laws called a true bill. And they said, you've been committing deceptive acts and practices to the extent that they are crimes against humanity, you know, rebut, which is in UCC terms saying, how do you plead? And we were met by deafening silence, no response whatsoever. They knew that in the background there was offices full of UCC lawyers all over the planet, tucked away in corporations, trying to work out how to undo this mess that they'd suddenly been plunged into, and failing. So that action to actually accuse the system itself of being criminal was actually ended by, after the silence of the accused, actually ended with the termination and cancellation of all corporations and the seizure of all the assets as a recovery of stolen goods that were gained by deceptive acts and practices. So it was actually, if you like, a stolen goods recovery exercise from beginning to end. Now, all of those assets, including all of the assets that sit behind the financial systems, were in theory, in UCC law terms, were actually transferred to the one people in equity. Okay, so the situation we end up with is everybody in the planet's in the trust, they own their bodies, they share the resources of the planet in equity, and they are co-custodians of the planet with the planet. And that is a pretty incredible achievement for a law system to be able to be turned on the owners of that law system who are acting criminally and completely, you know, just strip the whole thing down to nothing. It was absolutely quite extraordinary. Beyond that point, what happened, and if you don't mind, Lisa, I'll keep talking to this because I had this conversation yesterday, and I'll be able to keep it fairly short because I should be able to hit all the main points.
Went for 3 hours yesterday, though. So.
Yeah, I know. It won't be a three-hour show.
Compress.
Okay, the following that action, that was really it. Okay, folks, that was it. Following that, they did two things. They issued a military order as part of the process of shutting down the corporations to enforce the remedy that they had chosen to use as a result of the accusations being unrebutted. And they remain unrebutted. Apparently a lot of furniture was thrown around offices in frustration at not being able to do anything about what the filings had achieved. So the obvious thing then is, okay, well, we've created a structural vacuum here. What do we do? So they devised, and again through UCC law, registered a structure for a new form of governance, which they call the CVAC systems, which there's been many discussions about on this show. And this show isn't the place for detailed discussion on that, but simply to say it's a skeletal description of something which is absolutely transparent, running in full reliability and responsibility with one purpose only, to serve the people, and only staffed, peopled, by public servants who, in their own full responsibility and liability, are obliged to ask the people what they want, give them absolute data on issues relating to delivering that, and having received a decision from the people, go and deliver it. Not a political system. That still stands in perpetuity as being an active option for we the people to choose to proceed from, you know, whatever tipping points and turning points we encounter in the upcoming months. And that was the block of data presented to us on December 25th. And just as we'd worked our way through the documents to the point where we thought we understood how they'd gone about shutting down the system, because it was, you know, when you look at them as a block, it's reasonably reasonably easy to follow the thread of the logic of the action taken, and then to go into the CVAC stuff, and that was actually quite breathtaking because, you know, we've all dreamed about what could the world be like, and it's all very well to have that dream, but the question is, you know, how does it actually work, and how do you get from where we are to over there? So, you know, it was like a vista opening, a vista of options opening up to us when we started to view those. So there's really two parts to that trip. There was like the intake of breath, oh my God, they look like they've shut the system down, and then the outward breath was, whoa, now look at this. And that actually took us some time to digest. That took us all of January to get our brains around that.
But it did, Chris, it started conversations about the reality and the possibilities of what really could happen, you know? What would it be like if we could have a system that was that transparent, that was that upfront, that was that equitable, you know? People started to really put a lot of energy into a new way of being. I noticed that, you know, the conversations that we were having on the shows, you know, and people were getting excited, you know, with this new idea, this new concept. It was a brand new option that they didn't know they had before.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, I also noticed around that time, a lot of people, it became the new, OPPT became the new savior.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was one of the lessons we had to learn, Bob.
Yes, it was. I think
Caleb
kind of bit splashed.
Sure did. One of the things
I'll point
this out to people that this process has been, you know, it's been a legal process. It's been, a structural process. It's been an education in how we could run ourselves. But it's also been in a process of understanding that we have to stand in our own power, and we have to actually act as individuals in full responsibility and liability. We really have to be that, and that's really because we've got to a point in about sort of mid to late February where everyone was starting to put Heather up on a pedestal and the OPPT up as, you know, the new line of authority. And that the thing that Caleb did was basically, you know, knock them both off the pedestal, smack us up the side of the head and say, hang on, you're in charge of you. You're just doing it all over again. You're just repeating where we just came from. Stop it. And did a bang-up job.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Mm, he did. So big, big learning process.
What was the following? What was the next document in line?
Well, what happened wasn't that the next document had already been filed, and it was the December 10 filing, and this is where the spiritual side of it started to play heavily into it, because that mm-hmm. document was the document that actually recognized that we've been in a what I have come to call a project that's been running for thousands of years, that we were actually bonded into it at soul level by contract, and that this document actually terminated the project, accepting it as completed and well done, and ended all contracts and repurposed everybody to being self rather than living image of self, because we'd been living under representations of value, and that's something we learned about in the process in that 6 weeks afterwards, was what a representation of value really meant and how it was right at the core of the slavery system. You know, the slavery system's built on our acceptance that a representation of value is, you know, the way we should actually conduct our civilization. And that document actually pulled us out of living with representations of value and back to being self, being in full responsibility and liability and knowing who you are. And it was an extraordinary document because it expressed something that's absolutely spiritual in legal terms, and a brilliant, absolutely brilliant piece of writing when you go through it in detail and get your head around it. And the other thing that it did was very clearly state that we were going to be reacquainted with our energetic selves and basically be handed back the secrets of our bodies and the secrets of how the universe actually works. I mean, that's yet to really fall into play, but one of the interesting things that's gone on in the background, even in the last 2 weeks, is that people are coming forward with information relating to exactly that. you know, how manifestation is going to be possible, how communication is going to be possible. And it's, you know, that's actually coming into 3D, our 3D-ish world now. But it was that process that's going on now was triggered by the release of this document, which was about mid-February, as I recall. So what effect did it have on you, Lisa?
Oh, you know what effect it had on me. We were reading together.
I know. You were crying, actually, as I recall.
Oh, I was crying. My whole body was vibrating. And I remember you seemed a bit shocked at the response I was having. And it was like, do you get this?
I was just overwhelmed with emotion. Not reduced to tears, more just a shock that even such a thing could be possible. Because here I am looking at this, because there's been so much information about the reincarnation cycle and about, you know, the contractual nature of reincarnation. It's all come through Dolores Cannon's work and others, and you know, in my mind it had become a real thing, and here it was in a legal document, written and spoken in part in terms of the Creator actually talking to us here. And folks, the most incredible thing about it, and you don't realize it till you go back and read it a second time, is it wasn't just addressing us, it was addressing all manifestations in creation.
Everywhere.
And that was the sort of secondary realization we came to a bit later when we worked through it a bit more. But and we understood why that document wasn't actually brought to our attention until we'd gone through the process of understanding what had happened earlier in the block of filings that were released on December 25th. We weren't ready for it until we'd gone through that initial understanding phase.
It started a new dialogue. It started a new conversation about who we are in the greater scheme of things. It started to the conversation about, you know, our galactic family and our role and our position, you know, in relation with them and the entire universal experiment that played out here on this planet. It started conversations about our actual purpose. You know, it's one of the things that is one of the fundamental things in any spiritual journey, you know, is discovering what your purpose here was for, you know, and what it, and why. You know, this also started the conversation about, well, if this is true and it was all part of the experiment, then what does this mean for all of the other players, the ones that were playing the roles of the bad guys and the ones that were playing the roles of the villains? It started that conversation about how do we treat them and, you know, understanding this new information that this is all part of a huger plan, bigger than any of us ever dreamed of us being participants in, you know, and I think it started really opening people's minds in a different direction as to who and what we are and what our purpose is. You know, anybody can pick up a hammer and they'll know exactly what that's for. You can pick up a screwdriver and you know exactly what that's for. And then you show someone a human being and ask them what that's for. And what do you get?
Deafening silence.
Now we know, you know, what the whole idea of the human being was for and what we have in store for us in our future, you know, in this now. And it's been a very, very transformational journey.
Mm-hmm. At every level.
And then in terms of a series of events, it seemed to be that that's when we started to get people coming out of the woodwork. I think I said every man and his dog has got a new financial system they want to introduce. So there was a lot of people approaching Heather and the trustees, wanting to connect with her, wanting to introduce a solution or provide the enforcement. And what I saw from on the sidelines was just people coming and going. People coming, making a lot of noise, not being able to back any of it and disappearing. That's what it looked like to me. What about you, Brian? Because you were probably more involved in that.
Well, there was a lot of people coming around saying, well, that doesn't sound like a CDAC.
Well, you know, I think Max Egan said it best, you know, in his interview that he did with Mel V, which is something that we've already said, is, you know, you got people barking real loud, and still, at the end of the day, the filings couldn't be rebutted. So, you know, people could talk and say anything that they wanted to provide the contrast that they did. And, you know, I got to the point where I welcomed it, because it's like, cool, let's put all the information and opinions out there. Then everybody can decide for themselves what they want to believe, what they want to have as their truth. I don't want to make – I don't think any of us – I can only speak for myself – has ever wanted to make anybody's mind for them. You know, I've done a lot of radio shows since this whole thing started, as we all have, and I never came from a place of trying to convince anyone of anything. You know, being that the OPPT was an idea, it was a set of events that transpired, that took place. People could chop them up and dissect them and scrutinize them and pull them apart any way that they that they saw fit. And at the end of the day, ultimately, everyone has their own decision that they need to make. And God bless them, whatever way they want to go. Doesn't change anything that has happened one little bit. Not one thing that anyone that is in opposition of the information that has come out has changed it one bit, whether it be Gene or Neil Keenan or any of these people. God bless them all. I have no animosity or ill will toward any of them. I believe that there's many of the people that have put up some resistance that have really good intentions that want to see the world changed, and then there's some that don't, maybe. I don't really care. I don't really care. I've gotten to the point where I can love them all for the character they played and the role they played, and I never want to go back to a place where I judge people for what they believe. I love people and all the beliefs that they bring to the table, and I think that's a big part of the energy that the One People's Public Trust really tried to create. Don't fight hate with hate or fear with fear or doubt with doubt or worry with worry. Just hold a place of your own understanding, your own truth, walking in the light of that which you choose to walk in, and let people either gravitate toward you or magnet away from you, whatever as they see fit. It doesn't change what anybody believes. It can only, for me personally, reinforce that which I know is true, which is why I'm still on these shows and which is why we still continue to truck forward. So for me, it's been a total evolution of understanding. And every week I have to throw away the book that I was studying the week before and start to write a new one. You know?
Very good point, Brian, because this has been absolutely evolutionary for everyone involved. And it always gets back to, you know, don't arrive at a point where you decide that you've arrived at the real paradigm at the end point, because, you know, the movement will just roll over you and move on. You've got to roll with it. New information comes in daily. Things shift and change daily. And, you know, you can see that we've each been expressing our views as individuals all along. And look at the evolutionary change. If you went back and listened to the shows from, you know, from mid-January, it would sound like different people speaking to now. And we just have to acknowledge that that process is not over, that it's ongoing. Because what's, you know, the thing that's become very clear to me is that we've evolved through the actions of the OPPT, through that phase, to arrive at a situation where we are finally recognizing ourselves as the one people and standing in that space. And that is the most exciting thing that's forming at the moment that I'm really, really looking at and in putting my intention into. But we mustn't get off the theme of today, which is to tell a story. So where are we now? We're about mid-February, and we've just been given permission to be ourselves again, and a whole lot of lessons from Heather and Caleb about the realities of not recreating hierarchy and falling back into old patterns. So February was really intense, really was.
The thing about that too is once you really embody those ideas, you instinctively, naturally won't accept anything less. You see right through it, because you'll understand what true freedom is and what it looks like, and you have an idea in your mind what your value is, and anything that doesn't respect the absolute value of every single you know, being on the planet is not acceptable.
Mm.
And any other form, you know, it really helped to crystallize crystal clear in my mind, you know, what really true being was. You know, that the whole idea of authority, having authority over someone else, was just another way of saying of looking at someone else as lesser than yourself and treating that other person as lesser than yourself. And we've been on the other side of that coin for so long. You know, it really drove home to me, once you start to imbibe these ideas, that you can't be fooled anymore. You can't be coerced into slavery so easily anymore, and your eyes are open. That's what I really loved about, you know, the people that I've become involved with in dealing with the one people, is the integrity.
Mm-hmm. There seems to be some thoughts in the chat room that this is our last show because we're talking like this. No, it's not.
We
wanted to give you a recap of events as we saw them, as they unfolded for us. We wanted to give you some clarification around the events in the order they came in, because some of you have been following this show since the beginning, some of you are brand new. That's basically what we're doing here today. We wanted to give you something. I mean, we've rambled a bit and we've been a bit more philosophical than I wanted to, but we wanted to give you a concise running order of events.
You can't
actually have this discussion, I don't think either, without discussing all of the other spiritual and philosophical and everything that is incorporated, because this isn't just about legal documents. This is about paradigm-changing, life-changing, humanity awakening stuff.
No, that's why it took me 3 hours yesterday to get through, and there's still a few things in retrospect that I left out, but not that much. But look, we're actually doing okay. We just need to jump back onto the agenda right now and move on, because there was a phase in late February where the absolute focus was on you know, could the trustees, you know, release the treasury, implement the treasury in some way, and that caused a lot of controversy, and we learned a lot of lessons about the realities of putting value back into a system which was only going to steal the money and continue its course of corruption. And you know, alongside with the lessons of what value really means and where it lies and how to get at it, because the next phase really beyond that point is the introduction of the universal exchange, which was the next couple of documents that Heather actually produced. I've jumped ahead of myself. No, we're in March now. I've jumped ahead to the end. We're in March. The final document in March, Lisa, is what we need to talk about next.
Yeah,
which was, you know, it was the one that actually that actually ends all hierarchies. Okay,
the reconciling of the OPPT itself,
and of the UCC, and it basically it ended any existing trust structure or hierarchy on the planet was completely ended at that point, and it also it was a very interesting document from that point of view, but also because it provided a language framework for proceeding to the next level of expressing, you know, how we can actually view and run our existences here on this planet. And there's a series of statements, just short statements made in that document. You know, I'll just give you an example. There's, you know, A through K, eternal essence is unrebutted. All that value is eternal essence, unrebutted. The concepts of eternal essence, that the creator is eternal essence, that we are eternal essence embodied, you know, and that the value is in eternal essence, therefore, is in us. And conceptually, that was very firmly delivered in that document, along with the complete cancellation of all hierarchies and of all debt and of freedom. You know, that was complete freedom, complete, and that includes freedom from debt and all trust systems, networks, regimes, hierarchies, and any other limits unrebutted. Hence, we're getting down to a different kind of language, because we've morphed through the use of the strict UCC, you know, financial stuff through to a use of the language inside a UCC document that was expressing spiritual terms. And here we move to yet another kind of language, which introduced us to conceptually to the real I am, which is eternal essence, and allows us to continue the conversation after the UCC is reconciled. Okay, so the language is established in that last document, along with the cancellation of all limits. So we end up with a terminology for the one people. We have the one people. What are the one people? They are eternal essence embodied without limits. And that was what that final document, in my view, achieved. And that sets the stage for what followed. But let's talk about that document for a moment and the effect that it had on you guys, because you can tell the effect it had on me. I've just spoken to that. How did it affect you guys?
Brian,
hello.
Can you go first?
No one diving in.
Sorry, guys. I was trying to send a message into the chat. I don't even know what questions you just posed.
Okay. Not Brian. Bob, how did it affect you?
Basically, you know, the whole idea, you know, it's a completely shift in the idea that we thought we were going to take, because a lot of people were so focused on the money aspect, you know, because it's been such a big part of our lives up to date, our social interactions, the careers and choice of life that we choose, everything that we do is based around this idea of money and finance. And it really, really, you know, got you to shift your thinking as regards to what it is that you really want. It's not the money. It's what you think that money can buy. You know, it's the freedom that you think money can afford you, and the ability to do what you want when you want to do it. But none of those things inherently have a price tag, you know, put on it. Who was it? One of your kids, Dee, or maybe one of Heather's or somebody that said that, look at the whole planet, look at the world. God made this, you know. I don't think he left us a bill.
Yeah, that was one of Heather's kids.
That was one of
Heather's kids, you know?
Yep, that was one of Heather's kids.
Hey, I'm the only one that got a bill?
send them a courtesy notice, darling, if you got a bill.
Yeah, that's what it gets down to. But Lisa, how did that document affect you?
Well, Heather's got an amazing way with language. And she managed to put 20 years of spiritual research and journey of my own into a nice, concise catchphrase. I am eternal essence, absent limits.
Don't forget the embodied, Lisa. You've got to hang on to that body.
What it did for me is, at first it pissed me off, excuse my language. You know, when I was first doing my original interview with Heather, and it was so hard to understand the way that she spoke, and I think that was like a three-hour interview, it took me time for me to really grasp the depth of the things that she was saying. And, you know, it really helped for me personally to break through the conditioning of my understanding of so many things about the nature of my very own existence. And to the point now where instead of reading it, and she says it all the time, first read it with your mind, then try to understand it with your heart. And I posted that conversation that you and you, Chris, and Heather had on my blog today. And that's what it takes. It really takes breaking down some of the barriers of a conditioning that our mind imposes upon our language and helps us to dig a little bit more deeply within ourselves to understand things from a little bit of a deeper level. And now I appreciate it. Now when she shares language or articles or whatever, I really try to read it slow and understand it, because there's usually a lot embedded within the words that are far beyond even what's being said.
That's true.
Indeed. Yeah, look, the other aspect of what Heather's done from the beginning is chart a course for us. She's basically blazing a trail and creating energetic spaces for us to step into. And we learned about energetic spaces through this process, that in order for a concept to really grow and take root, it needs to be given permission. And if you like, I think of it in terms of almost a physical space, because that's why it seems to work. You have to give it permission to exist. It's a bit like the South American Indians trying to see the ships that Columbus sailed up in, because they'd never seen anything like that before. That wasn't part of their belief set. They really just couldn't see anything until the guys rowed their boats to shore, because they understood rowboats and they understood men. They couldn't really see the sailing ships. They were just incomprehensible. But if you'd gone in 2 weeks before and said, there are some big sailing ships coming, and drawn them some diagrams and given them a description, you'd created an energetic space for them to understand what it was. And then when they arrived, they'd have looked at them and said, that's what that guy was talking about. Okay, and that's what Heather's been doing. And she continues to do it with her work on the UV exchange and the conversations we've had after that. And the issue, as I see it, is that we're doing a bridging function, where we're moving ourselves and ultimately the rest of the entire one people from one place to another through this process. And everyone in this discussion and listening to this call is part of that bridging process, because we're creating that energetic space, that giving it that permission to exist and to be and to move forward, because it is our intention that this should be so.
No.
And that, these are all really, really important things that have to happen for this change to start taking place.
Now, one of the things, and this is probably going to lead into probably opening a can of worms here, but that's okay. One of the things I noticed, and once that UV exchange document was made public, people began going nuts. I'm talking about the former powers that were. People started coming out of the woodwork. People started, all of a sudden, it felt like we were being attacked, I look back at it and I'm like, wow, that one document really, really ruffled a whole lot of feathers. Because one of the things I do notice, and this is just my opinion again, one of the things that IUV exchange is, it eliminates the possibility of any more people being in positions of control and power.
And those who were after control and power lost their heads.
Yes, and all the ones that were, yeah, exactly, Lisa, the ones that were in control and power completely lost their minds, going crazy nuts. What are you, the idea of them not being in that position, I think, is just incomprehensible for them. Yeah. Let alone from where it's coming from.
All right, guys, time's getting along there. We need to fast track.
Well, I was heading towards that, and then people started coming out of the woodwork, and then Swiss Indo.
I'll just make one comment on that aspect. All of the alternate, if you look at the horizon of things, that big things that could happen, the rise of the one people is in my mind the biggest. But if you look at the push to revalue the dinar and do sort of a Nasara, or the things that Neil Keenan's group would like to do, they're operating from inside the system. All they'll do is rebirth a new version of the slavery system.
Everything else, and I don't want to name names, but look at all the other so-called solutions. They're all continuing the current system. They're all working with corporations. They're all working with corporate governments. They're all working with those global accounts, with the trust accounts, with the CESCV trust accounts. They're all trying to work with them, manipulate them. And I really don't see any of it being for the benefit of all. They're for the benefit of those who have joined up, become members, in the know. And it's still a hierarchy, it's still an elite, it's still
Yeah, it's a lot of authority, and what this what the action is. Yeah, well, and that's one of the one of the difficulties we had early on. We people were trying to jump in and create new hierarchies, and what Heather's attempting to do, actually has succeeded in doing, is teaching us the lesson that the only place where true freedom can be found is living in the absolute, and the UV exchange is the final part of that. And it's no wonder the powers that were went nuts, because it's everything that they don't want to happen. Okay, so that document arrived in March. And in fact, I'm just trying to look for a date on this document and not seeing one, so I'd have to go back and look at exactly when what day this arrived at. But my memory is that it was in
18th of March, I think.
18th of March, okay. So, no, the 18th of March was the first document. This one arrived several weeks later, so it would be late March, okay. So that again, another lesson in something we hadn't heard of before is the fact that it's possible to run in a community basically on an energetic exchange. And that lovely essay by the young man Justin about goodwill being where that starts, and how that exists already in the way we work with each other at family level and in certain aspects in the community before you hit the corporate system, then it all suddenly becomes something else. But that goodwill factor is really the easiest thing to point at and say, in the 3D world, that is energy exchange. Okay, and so again, a new lesson that we learned as we've moved along this past. And okay, we've sort of moved to a point where our attention now has focused on the sudden coming to the foreground of an offer from a group called Swiss Indo. So I'll let Lisa go back to being Chief Storyteller.
Well, as I said earlier, there was a lot of people, a lot of groups, a lot of individuals claiming to represent groups that came forward with offers of enforcement or offers of a new prosperity packages for everybody, offers of various things. And they went through a vetting process, I guess you could say, by really just allowing the space for them to expose themselves. They came and went. A lot of them, I think, were lures. This is my personal opinion on this. I think a lot of them were lures to get OPPT, Heather and the trustees, to act in a certain way and try and trick them into, in fact, reactivating the system that they just shut down. But that's, again, that's the way I looked at it. Now, the latest one to come on board is the Swiss Indo Group. And this has been going on for some time. There has been, and Brian's the one who can speak to this, because Brian's the one who's been the most involved. I've been on the sidelines keeping myself up to speed as much as possible. But what we're looking at is a group who have acted independently based on what they saw in those filings. They believe that those filings are giving them the empowerment to act. And they're doing what we're all doing, supporting the work that's been done, doing whatever enforcement they can. I mean, our enforcement came out of things like the courtesy notices, and just being and doing was our enforcement. Here we're looking at a group who claim to have the ability to implement some wide-scale, serious enforcement. So there's been, again, it's a matter of, I know for me personally, it's about sitting back and seeing if these guys are who they say they are and can do what they say they're going to do. Brian, do you want to step in at that point? And you've got to unmute yourself first, though.
In the meantime,
that would be smart. Unmuting myself would be smart. Here I am starting to ramble, and I'm muted. well, it's been an interesting process to watch this whole Swiss Indo development unfold from my perspective. It all started with me from a phone call that I received asking if I had seen a document drafted by the representatives, the alleged representatives of Swissindo, having my name and email address and phone number listed as the media contact for the One People's Public Trust. And you can only imagine how much that surprised me at first, being kind of tagged with a responsibility that I didn't necessarily sign up for. But considering me being the truth seeker that I am, you know, I looked at it as an opportunity to help tell the story in the most transparent way possible, which is what I've been trying to do mostly with my blog over the course of the last week or so, with all the information, over 90 pages worth of it, and posts that I put out last week. But, you know, one of the first things I had to do was figure out, I don't even have any idea who – I've heard of Swissindo. I have no idea who they are. You know, so I had to do a lot of research and a lot of due diligence, and I can only share my impression and my opinions of the story as it has developed for me personally, because I will be really upfront, which is how I always do it, and I will say that I have never had any one-on-one direct verbal communications with anybody that claims to represent their group. I'm not involved in any high-level negotiations, nor do I even know if there's any high-level negotiations that are even going on, based on the way that I understand the way the story has been told. But there are people that are in communications with the people from Swissindo that have been following their story for one historian that we're in contact with who has been following their story for 8 years. And she has pages and pages and pages of copious notes and research. Not even all that I have completely read through. There's that much of it. And the person that claims to kind of head up the Swissindo royal family is a gentleman by name Mr. Sino. And he holds the position that is referred to as the King of Kings and is the number one kind of authority in these royal families, and has a lot of order goes a long way. However, the handlers that have been kind of overseeing the Swissindo operations have done a really good job at suppressing the supposed power that he has. Now, the way that I understand their intentions is that, you know, these groups of royal families have been, for a few hundred years, they have been passing the buck along from generation to generation with the intention, with the ultimate goal to bring peace and prosperity back to humanity. And using the instrument of the gold, the Asian gold that they supposedly control, which is supposedly 90% of the known gold deposits in the world, which have also been suppressed in that part of the story. I'm still learning as I go. So when One People's Public Trust came around, they looked at all the documents, they reviewed everything that they saw, and they said that this is the element or the ingredient that has been introduced to the equation, to the landscape, that will allow their lifelong mission that's been passed from generation to generation to be fulfilled once and for all. And so the way that they wanted to do that is to release. We made it very clear in one of the documents that Paula put out that we have no intention, and I'm speaking now to everybody that's following this story, because there's this big idea that's been put out there that we, as the representatives, which we're all just individuals speaking publicly about what we know to be true, but those of us that speak on behalf of One People's Public Trust, our agenda is to seize the collateral accounts and hijack them from people that have been trying to get their hands on them for quite some time, and that is absolutely not the case. You know, I think we've made it very clear over the course of the last few weeks, couple months, that really the way that we want to see this go is that we're ultimately getting to people to the point where they understand their true value is in the energy that is within themselves. So we don't want their gold. You know, what they're looking for now is some ceremonial type event where, their legacy can be brought into the light. So the radio show that I did on Morning Brew last week got a lot of attention, and it's been blogged and reblogged, and you know, I've been quoted as saying some things that people are wanting me to elaborate on, so I'll do the best I can to address some of those things now. There's a UN executive UN order number 108333 that goes right along with the military order that the One People's Public Trust put out, which is for corrupt bankers and politicians or anybody that's guilty of crimes against humanity to be arrested and to be moved out of the way, so that that a new system, the elements of that new system have yet to be determined as far as my personal knowledge can be launched. And that has received both positive and negative commentary in response. You know, a lot of people really concerned about the idea of enacting any military to do anything on behalf of the people, because what that the energy that could perpetuate. So I'm going to read something here really quickly from my blog, and then a couple more things I'll share, and then if we want to open it up to questions, that works as well.
Yeah, I'm there's also a couple of things I need to put in here, Brian, if I may.
Please go ahead.
I've been somewhat on the fence about Swiss Indo, and because I haven't really absorbed all the information that yourself has and Paula has, but in the last 24 hours, I'm coming to realize that I need to get off the fence over this, and here's the reason. If you look around the landscape at what we could do next, there is nothing, there is no other organization that has come forward to offer us anything that was real, and these people have, with absolute best intent, jumped in and said, okay, you know, there's been communication. Okay, and they said, right, here's what we're going to do. And they issued a document which clearly stated that the system was to be shut down, that there was to be enforcement, and there was to be funding for the enforcement and for the development of what comes next. And I don't see anyone else jumping forward to make anything like that. And from everything I've heard about these people, they have absolute pure intent, and the reason they jumped in so quickly, because these things take months and years to organize usually, if these sorts of big behind the scenes changes, and they did it in weeks because of the way they resonated with what the OPPT's actions had done and continue to do. Now the steps from here on, to me, have been unclear. They're starting to become clearer now, and I want to speak to them when Brian's finished filling in a few more details, because there's a very specific pair of documents that we are going. When I say we, I mean myself and all the other people I've been working on this with here. Some on the panel, some not today, are going to actually put out there. And that's an oath and bond for the One People, okay? Because one of the things I very clearly now is that, because I've been having an identity crisis the last week. Who are we? You know, who is this group of people? What is this movement? And it's become very clear to me that it is the One People. Now, if you look at all the attacks on the OPPT and this, you know, the OPPT this, OPPT that, they're trying to attack an entity because they deal in a world of fictional entities, and the OPPT was that. You know, it was a trust. It was a man-made fictional entity. They attack the OPPT. Let's see if they'll come at the One People.
Yes.
Okay. Are they going to come at the One People and make ridiculous accusations? I don't think so. So I want to talk about the oath and bond at the end of this conversation, but I just wanted to insert the idea now that whatever reservations you might have about the Swiss Indo stuff, I say we give these people our full support and see where it goes, see how far we can take this, because, you know, we have to get major changes over the line, and no one else is coming up with any offers of any support for us at this point in time. We get elsewhere.
When you say us,
noise.
You're talking about the people of the planet.
I'm talking about the One People. When I say us or we, yeah, from now on, it means the One People.
Yeah.
That's here, the rise of the One. What we're talking about here, do you want to say what's happening here? It's the rise of the One People.
So here's the thing that everybody needs to understand. You know, the One People's Public Trust, meaning the trustees of the former One People's Public Trust, Heather Caleb Randall, have not signed anything with the Swiss Indo Group.
No, and they actually don't need to, because the people there, they had all the authority to do what they did.
Exactly.
To issue that document, that's their prerogative. Okay, you know, I was surprised that there wasn't more to and fro, but there's been communication difficulties and language difficulties at various levels, and I say it's not, it's okay, it's just the situation. But what I'd like Brian to do is to go a little bit more into the detail of that, and so we can bring it to a conclusion.
Well, here's the thing is, part of the reason why I started my blog was to tell the story as it's being told to me. So the Swiss Indo Group, with this executive order and what they're doing to put out the call to the provost marshals for enforcement, everybody can see with their own eyes when and if that comes to fruition. I'm not getting myself attached to it one way or the other, because I know at a higher level everything is by design and everything is going to work out exactly as it was designed to. If the thing about Swiss Indo dissolves and goes away tomorrow, tomorrow night, I will not lose one ounce of sleep. For me, it's about detachment and watching the story as it's told, watching it as it unfolds. None of us have the intention of making any decisions on behalf of the one people that are going to be to the detriment of all of humanity. So let me read this real quick, and it'll summarize this message that I'm trying to put out here. And then there's one more thing I want to say, and I'll pass it over to you, Chris, is that this is one I put out with some of the information that Fulford made. A comment that he made on his post today said that the Pentagon and agency white hats say they have been waiting for the legal basis to make a move against the corrupt political establishment. So I put a message out on this post at the beginning. I said, some data to consider from Fulford. No need to get caught up in the energy of fear or worry. Remaining a conscious witness to the story as it unfolds is the only way to observe the drama without getting caught up in the drama. All is transpiring exactly as it was designed, for it to be otherwise would be a contradiction of universal law. So complete detachment from outcome helps us to stay grounded during a time of perceived chaos. Just remember, at a higher level, even chaos is in perfect order. So, you know, there are people that have been in direct communications with Swiss Indo and with Mr. Sino direct. I've read the email conversations. I've read a lot that has caused me to become excited by the idea that there can be a lot more people now from all over the world on the side of bringing peace and prosperity to the planet. However, I have no worry. I'm not concerned whatsoever that the whatever moves that are being made in the background that are going to happen, no matter what the One People's Public Trust or the One People say, they're happening anyways, and they don't need anybody's signature as far as the trustees to allow it to happen. Let's all watch the story as it unfolds. You know,
a question, Brian, that keeps coming up in the chat room from someone is, if OPPT foreclosed on everything, why did they not close on the Swiss Indo?
Well, here's the thing. That's a really good question. You could say the same thing about the UN. Well, the Federal Reserve, the United States government, they've been foreclosed also, right? But if you look on the news, it looks as if they're still in operation, right? The reason is because people are still paying energy into the idea that they're still in existence. That's the only place that they now still retain any control, is the belief that they're still legitimate. And so once people wake up to the idea and the understanding, and this could be the ingredient that allows them to do so, that these organizations, that these entities have been foreclosed upon, then the energy that allows them to perpetuate the energy that they bring to the people of this planet all of a sudden goes flat, and they can no longer operate on any level whatsoever. That's what I'm hoping for, is a result that comes from the potential of what Swiss Indo is doing. However, I can't say this is exactly what's going to happen. These people are exactly who they say they are. I've seen enough to lead me to believe that it's legitimate, but that's only based on my own assumptions and my own process of due diligence, which has been pretty extreme, to to this point.
Well, that cuts back to the start, very start of the show, where we said everyone's expressing their own opinions. And you know, we're eternal essence embodied without limits, and we're entitled to form our own opinions, but we just have to acknowledge that we're receiving one another's opinion, and we have to process that information and decide for ourselves which part of it we want. As far as the question from the chat room goes, the actuality of the trust is they have physical possession of a very, very large amount of gold. Okay, you strip away the corporate structure from a company, you still have the building, the people, the equipment, the stock sitting there, physical. Well, it's the same thing with Swiss Indo. You've got the trustees, the caretakers of this enormous asset, which has been used in the financial system for a very long time for backing, you know, the whole system, or at least a very large part of it. That's still there. The caretakers, the custodians are still acting in their role, in their capacity, because it's been a sacred trust for them. And so that doesn't really affect the actuality of what Swiss Indo is. The, you know, the fictional aspect, any signed documentation, any structural agreements that were related around the old statutory law system, you know, they've gone. But the mm-hmm. trustees are still there, and the gold is still there. And they are the ones who actually have control of where it goes. So, and to get back to the commentary that's been going about the provost marshals and the fact of enforcement, the military orders make it very clear this is not an outbreak of military action. This is actually an outbreak of peace. And you only have to go back to the military order and read it to understand how that's structured. Okay.
There's two more things I want to get to before the end of the show, and we've got 15 minutes.
Yep. Well, it's just so, okay. I just need about one or two more minutes. We pushed it out to the provost marshals very simply because we don't have the resources or the experience or knowledge to actually evaluate the document that Swiss Indo sent down to the degree which we'd like. The provost marshals do. That's their job. So, and it also serves to notice them that we, the one people, know what Swiss Indo is trying to do for us, and we're putting them on notice that we require them to act. So there's two purposes for putting it back into the system via the provost marshals, because it gets passed down through the UN. You know, the UN's a very corrupt place. It'll be slow. It'll get blocked. They'll be in contention. But in the end, Mr. Sino apparently owns the UN and owns the United States. So it will happen. I'm not sure of the pace that it will happen at, though, and I'm not sure exactly what we'll see when it really kicks in. That's yet to be written. However, the very final thing I wanted to talk about is this: the actions of the OPPT in shutting itself down and literally handballing it over to, well, who? Where does the movement go? Who's in charge? Well, you know, I've been struggling with this for a couple of weeks. Who are we? Where do we go from here? Who's in charge? And the simple answer is that we are what's arrived at this point. We've actually found ourselves. We've turned up. We are the one people. And the ball's been very firmly placed in our court, in the court of the people on this call, the people we're working with, everyone listening to this is aware of what's going on. If we want a new world, it actually is up to us. And moving forward from this point, with all the work of the trustees behind us, is actually a lot simpler than we think. We've created an energetic space for the one people. All we need to do now is fill it. And the way that we're going to start filling it, when I say we, I mean this is actually me and what I'm suggesting to everybody out there. I'm posting some documents in the next 24 hours. I've been struggling to write the introductory material for this because I had to resolve some issues which I think I've got my head around now. But essentially, they're an oath and bond, and there's two of them. There's one for I find it difficult to read this because I get very emotional, but I'll put that aside. One for the servant of the one people and one for a protector of the one people. Now, they're actually very simple documents, and I'm going to struggle to read them out because I get too emotional. But what I'm asking you to do is to consider whether you will actually commit and move forward with the concept of the one people being our own change, being what we need. There are military out there who are looking for something to hang their hat on. They're looking for a way to...
It's okay.
To fulfill their oaths, okay? And I'm saying that the military order can't move forward without volunteers. And this is actually the thing that's required for them to do it. The thing that's required for us to move forward is for people to... And not everyone has to do this. Free will choice. It's up to you. If you feel committed to helping this move forward, then sign the bond and oath, and you know, fax or email. We'll have to do it by email, but we might set up a special thing. I want you to use initially the Forapak email if you want to email them, if you can sign and scan it and send it. And it's just a sign of your support and the fact that you want this to move forward.
Thanks, Chris. Okay. Brian, you're getting a lot of questions in the chat room. I don't know if you're noticing it, but they want to know whether we've had any response from the Provost Marshals as yet.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at my joke that I just put in the chat room. I said, where does the King of Kings keep his armies? And the answer is, in his levies.
sorry. Oh, thanks.
Really trying to lighten the load in there.
yeah, thanks, Brian.
Hi. Okay, what was the question, Lisa? Go ahead.
Has there been a response from the Provost Marshals?
Yeah, we have had a couple responses from the Provost Marshals, but the communication with all of them just went out on Friday, one of which verified the legitimacy of the UN order and now is taking it to his people to discuss it and get back, and we're waiting on that get back process right now. And I will say those people out there in the blogosphere that are under the attack of this idea and this exchange that's going back and forth with Swiss Indo, to me that's very telling that we are dealing with the right people, or else why would there be such animosity toward the discussion? I think that's a pretty good tell in the poker world of showing your hand and
exactly.
Okay, look, no, I've had just, so just many requests. I've had so many requests to address this recent article that was put out by Michael Dunn. And I wasn't going to, because honestly, people, I just didn't want to give it the energy. But I'm going to make some clarifications. When I'm speaking, the only person I can represent is me. That's it. I don't represent anybody else. Unless I preface something with Heather said or Brian said, and to pass it on to you, then I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I don't represent the former OPPT. I don't represent Heather or Caleb or Randall. I just happen to be someone who is fortunate enough, and I feel very blessed to be connected to these people. Now, okay, what was the head? Someone put it in here that OPPT broke the peace with the Keenan group. There was no peace because there was no war to start with. Me, personally, Lisa, having a discussion with a guy called Michael is not a discussion between or a negotiation between OPPT and Neil Keenan. It's a discussion between Lisa and Michael. Now, the first accusation was that there was a death threat to Neil. I'm not going to argue that. I don't know. I wasn't in the room when he got the call, or if he got the call. And my only comment to it was that maybe Brian could giggle him to death. Now, as a result of that, I had a discussion with Michael, as I talked about on last week's show. And I reiterated that. Now, if Michael wants to interpret that as me speaking on behalf of the former OPPT and on behalf of Heather Caleb and Randall, then he can, that's fine. But I was only giving my opinion, and if that's he wants to declare that as being a peace, then he can do that. That's fine too. I'm at peace. I'm not at war with him or Neil or anybody else. What else? Oh, that now that they actually have poisoned Neil. But fortunately, Neil seems to know what they're going to poison him with and carries the antidote around. So that's great. He's alive and well. I'm very happy. Again, I don't know if that happened, and I don't know who did it if it did. How could I? What else? What else am I supposed to address on that? Anything
well,
else?
Tina made a comment that where he came out and said he likes war. I mean...
Well, he can have a war, but I'm sorry, but no one that I know is turning up.
Lisa, can I just say this? I haven't said much. I'll be short and concise, unlike Chris.
Yes.
Thanks, Nick.
Here's the thing, and it goes back to the comment of what you said just 2 minutes ago. At no time did the OPP trustees seek out the Swiss Indo Trust.
No.
At no time did anybody pretending to be working with the OPPT trustees go chasing after them saying, hey, come here, we got to talk to you, we got a deal for you today. Okay? They came, they sought out contact after what they saw in the file. They have never even spoken to the OPPT trustees yet.
No.
There has been conversations going back and forth between several people and the Swiss Indo Trust people. The Swiss Indo Trust people issued the orders that they issued all on their own. They weren't told to, they weren't ordered to, they weren't asked to. They blew us away. I remember you and I remember us having a conversation when it all showed up, everyone going, holy crap, when did they post that? And oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's like, who are these people? What are they doing?
Just like I said before, Dee, it's just people. The OPPT left information about their filings. People got to do with whatever they wanted with those filings. Some people put up websites. Some people, did videos. And some people apparently, mobilized global armies.
Yeah. One of the things about this, Dee, I will drop in this one. I have to drop in this one concept. Crap, and I just forgot what it was. Bugger.
I'm only going to make one more comment on it, and that is that if anybody wants to declare war with me personally or with the former OPPT or with Heather and Caleb and Randall and Brian and Dee and Bob, I really do, and I am in this moment going to speak on behalf of all of them. I'm going to say you're on the battlefield on your own, guys. No one's showing up.
Yep.
Not interested in the fight. This is about... This is not about war. This is about peace at last.
Yeah.
And all those people who have an agenda, who want to maintain control and power and global accounts and have all the money and tell people what they can do with it, they're the ones who have got a problem.
Yeah. Yep, and what I just remembered what I was going to say was that for 50 or more years, the Swiss Indo people have been trying to work out what to do about the problem that they've got with the criminals who'd been hijacked their asset. And they haven't had anybody, anything else, appear that they could handball it onto, which wasn't corrupted by the system. Otherwise, all of the projects that are running like Neil Keenan's would have got the gong a long time ago. And what does that say about those guys?
Okay, guys.
And within weeks...
Sorry, hang on. We're about to lose the broadcast. So for those people who were just listening live, if you've called in, you'll hear us. We are going to go over. But if you're just listening at Blog Talk, then you'll lose it. You can call in. Oh, no, you can't. There's no spaces left on the switchboard. So you'll have to listen to the archive to hear what happens after we go off the air. So thanks for joining us. I know it's been a weird show. We've We've reminisced, we've recapped, and we've addressed some things, but we will keep going.
We will.
Keep going, Chris.
Yeah, I'll finish the sentence. If they were going to be handballed onto to some project inside the system, some deal inside the system, they would have done it, but they just couldn't find anyone with integrity. And within about 4 or 5 weeks of seeing the work of the trustees, boom, they're throwing in a document that orders the UN to shut the system down. What does that tell you about these other things that are going on that are barking at us and making noise?
Well, one thing
and their motivation.
One thing I will say, for all of those who doubt it, the veracity of those filings, when it starts to get, you know, when it gets world rulers to act on those same filings, I'd say that those filings probably had some legitimacy to them.
Yep. You could say that. We're going to lose everybody, so bye-bye from me.
Namaste.
Okay, we're going to keep going though. We need to. There's a lot of people who want to talk about military and DC and Boston and all of that stuff. I can't offer anything other than my observation, which was, you know, Boston was bullshit. There you go. What do you guys want to add to that?
Well, I was waiting for all the credits to come up after I saw the video. You know. You know, all the Hollywood credits.
Well, you know, it's funny. I wasn't going to post anything more about the Boston thing because I'm just not giving energy to it. And I've been following a group who've been putting together information in a photo that they've analyzed the photos so thoroughly that I'm going to post it, and I will post it tomorrow morning. I'm sure a lot of people have seen it already, but it just so blatantly lays it out in black, white, and red that it's a fake.
Were they commenting on the injuries, Dee?
On the injuries, on
yes.
The whole setup. This the one set is they've got filming of it supposedly of all happened and happening, and they've analyzed it. Each photo, if you will, of each piece of the film, and they pulled them out, like, so it's like you got the 6th and then the 8th and then the 12th, and they pull them out of the film and show you exactly
what the actors
exactly. They analyze everything going on in the scene, and they show you, and you look at, and when you read, and I'll post it, I'll even get it out tonight, when you read it and you look at the photos, you are just like, oh my God. It's so ridiculously, obviously actors and obviously fake. I mean, it's the first thing I ever saw. I used to be a medic in the Army, okay? All the fake blood they kept showing, blood is not that color. Only
no.
In cartoons is blood actually that color.
Yep.
Blood, once it hits the air and sits for longer than a minute or two, turns dark, 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 almost burgundy. Almost deep brown, to the point of there's photos that they were showing that had to have been 15, 20 minutes later, that blood by that point on concrete would have been pretty much black by that point.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything, the whole bit. It was all the samples. The other
now
one
I have,
is West Texas
to,
one. That's another. That was another false flag.
Dave, could I just throw in one thing?
Yeah.
I'm actually a scientific photographer by my original training, and I spent 10 years taking medical photographs.
Cool.
And if you look at the damage to the clothing, there's one particular shot of a guy staggering down the street with his pants in tatters. Look at the damage to his clothing, and look at his legs.
Yep.
They've got color painted on them, but there's no injuries to them. And the amount of force required to rip clothes apart like that would have torn the legs to bits.
Yep.
Okay, and he shouldn't even be walking.
Yeah, when I post these tonight, you'll see it, and you'll see the same thing. There's several people in the whole scene where there's a guy lying on the ground with his legs blown off, and everyone is being seen to around him, except him. They made him, they cleared it like a way so that they could film. Oh, my goodness, how horrible. It's terrible. No one went.
So what's the point? What is the friggin' point?
It's airborne, right?
Seriously.
It's a desperate attempt. The thing that West Texas was another one. This whole thing that's coming down in the news now, I just heard about it a few hours ago, that apparently the Canadian government stopped a terrorist plot that was going to blow up a train between Toronto and New York. I'm going to put on a limb here and say, bullshit.
And Dee, did you know there's a boogeyman around every corner, and there's a rapist behind every bush?
There is.
I got some money from the Tooth Fairy last night, too.
So usually, if they're amping up the fear, it's because they're going, you know, they're going to provide the solution, right? So what do you think is coming down the pipeline in terms of a solution?
Let's see, CISPA.
Well, the other thing is with everything that's going on, I have spoken to a few people who have said that they believe that the Boston bombing was, you know, basically an attempt by one faction of the cabal to stop the new financial system coming into play and delay that. That is one theory I have heard.
How does that even work?
You had that, and you had the West Texas thing happen within literally, 24 hours of each other? And then you had the big shootout in Boston and all that kind of stuff, and martial law in Boston. And one of two things is it delays things, or it makes a great cover, doesn't it? So, for example, Interpol issued on, give me a second, Saturday, Interpol issued a global security alert. Now, it was based on the bombing in Boston. Yet everyone I spoke to high up said the same thing. It was all about the financial stuff. That it had nothing to do with Boston.
There's parts of the world where bombs go off on a daily basis.
Yeah, exactly.
Where people get killed and torn to shreds in the hundreds every day.
Yep.
So why is it that a bomb goes off in Boston, supposedly, and how many people killed? Three?
That can be proven?
I think there's
three. None that can be proven, but, you know. So three, and it results in that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a symptom of the desperation is what it is. They are so completely and utterly desperate right now. You just sit back and the whole thing is their desperation is making them incredibly clumsy. Because the Boston bombing, they were debunking that within 45 minutes of it happening. I had the first stuff landing on my inbox.
Mm. Yeah.
Saying, no, look at this. Here's a photo of that. Look at this. Look at that. No, this isn't right. This isn't right. That's how clumsy they are. I mean, really? The red paint on the ground? Even Hollywood, they could get real fake blood. All they had to do was go to any theatrical production store in Hollywood. They could have gotten all the fake blood they want, and it would have looked real.
Well, you know what? In one of my past lives, I actually was a makeup artist for film and television. And yeah, and I did special effects.
Yep. Thank you.
And I know how to do someone. I've still got photos of when I was at school doing this stuff and some of the films I've worked on and, yeah, you don't. I mean, blood doesn't look like tomato sauce. I'm sorry.
No.
All fresh burns. Fresh burns look like fried chicken.
Yeah, the fresh burns did not look like burns at all.
No, so not slightly.
Well, plus if it had gone off with force and it had all the shrapnel in it that they spoke of, there should have been injuries right across the street, and there weren't.
No.
Localized just to the immediate area around, and you know, because the film's so vague, you can't get an idea of how many people were there. In fact, there's some scaffolding. If you look at the raw footage, there appears to be some scaffolding with a tarp on it where the explosion goes off. And when you see the first thing that appears on the media after the explosion was police kind of pulling the scaffolding out the way to get into the bomb area, and obviously it was there as a shield.
Yeah.
To make sure that, you know, the whatever damage there was wasn't too severe. It also gives them, it helps them in amongst the smoke to position all the actors and throw all the blood down.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, and this is another one, and actually this just came to me today when I was looking at the set of photos just before I came on the show. The guy who had his legs blown off, where was his legs? First rule of anything ever dealing with anything, amputated finger, even a tooth, is you bring the limb. Because there's always that chance if they get to it fast enough that it can be reattached. No EMT, no fireman, no policeman, no army medic is going to go in to and have a guy and there not be someone going, well, find his legs, man, find them. That was just a thought off the top of my head. Kind of gruesome, I'm sorry, but yeah.
Hey, Lisa, are we going to take any callers tonight?
And I have to go, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, guys, I got a dinner bell's ringing. I got to jump, too. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Much love to you all. And I will see you all when the world spins once over for the collective.
Sorry, guys. Talking away and I was muted. Okay, you guys go. We'll take the calls and see if we can get through them without you. We'll do our best.
I'm sure you'll have no problem, darling.
All right, guys.
Night, everyone. Night. I love you all.
Good night.
All right.
You too, Dee. Bye, Brian.
Comedians, happy Earth Day.
Ah, yes, happy Earth Day.
Yes, I'm sitting in the dark right now. Okay, yes, I'm cheating. My laptop is turned on, but I'm sitting in the dark.
Okay. See you tomorrow.
Good night.
See you, Dick. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, let's take a call. We've only got five here on the line still waiting to speak, so area code 646.
Hi, Lisa.
Oh, who was that? You sounded like R2-D2.
Hello, Lisa. It's Rick in Connecticut.
Oh, hi, Rick. Hey, how are you?
Hi, Rick. Yeah.
I want to preface something, and I'm not saying this because I want to garner any sympathy, but as a background, in 1985, I had the displeasure of seeing my boss blown up by a bomb set by Ted Kaczynski, who was known in America as the Unabomber, and shrapnel blew through metal doors 20 feet into the building my boss was on the other side of. I opened the door. He was still standing. Most of his his hands were blown off, and he I don't know. It must have been a motion-sensitive thing. So the FBI was involved and all kinds of stuff. It was, you know, that kind of shit really changes you. So when the bomb thing happened this week, it wasn't so much that I was having any kind of PTSD, because I have a whole different perspective on it. But like you guys were saying, it was not passing the sniff test. And then once they shut down the whole city, I'm thinking, like, no freaking way. Why are they doing this? And it occurred to me that back in 85, there was definitely no cell phones, no internet, anything. And then in 95, when the Oklahoma City bombing thing, there was still, I don't even think you had an internet. You had cell phones, but no smartphones. This time, even in 9/11, you had the internet, but you really didn't have the iPhone or smartphone showing up yet. But now we have an internet with a really robust search engines, and everybody has a smartphone with a video or camera ability. And maybe that's why, instead of, quote, for everyone's safety, they're keeping everybody housebound, so they weren't out with their iPhones and stuff like that, knocking down whatever
point.
Evidence they were trying to determine, you know, whatever case they were trying to make. And, you know, meanwhile, during that whole week where I was kind of mulling through that and really questioning my faith in my fellow citizens here, because there was some really xenophobic, jingoistic, just crap, just floating all around the social networks, and I was just like, are these people for real? And so meanwhile, I've been from a parking ticket I got back in September. I finally got this thing from the Department of Finance in New York City saying if I didn't pay this parking ticket, which now has another $40 on it for penalties or something, that if I didn't do it, that they could garnish my wages, impound my car, and, you know, all these things. And that really ticked me off. It's like, really, for $100-some-odd ticket, you have all of this power. And that's mm-hmm. when it finally occurred to me, because I would have been like on the fence, like, do I do a courtesy notice, or should I just, you know, just kind of ignore this stuff and let's see what things happen in the world where I won't even have to deal with it. But when I got that, it, I guess, compounded with what was going on in the world with the Boston situation and everything, I just thought, you know what, I'm not down with this.
I'm going to mute you, darling, because that's terrible. Yeah, we keep losing you. I'm sorry, that was... Ooh, I'll come back to you. Just, we'll take another caller and come back to you. So hopefully you can get it finished. Area code 347.
Yes, hello, everyone. It's Flo.
Hey, it's Brent. How you doing?
Doing okay. Just touching base with everybody, seeing how is everything going, and loving the energy you guys got going on tonight, real reminiscent. It does remind me of one of those episodes of, like, The Simpsons, where they just go through all 50 of the most recent episodes and just give a good old recap just to kind of fill up a good day, just to, you know, get your mind focused on.
Well, I think it actually really is good every now and then to take a step back and just take in the journey that we've all been on.
Yeah.
Because it's been pretty extraordinary.
That's definitely what... Yeah, that's what this year has been for me. You know, a lot of... looking at what I want to do, looking at what is, and, you know, looking at what I've done. So definitely a reconciliation. I just want to say, you know, I love you guys, man. And I'm looking at probably making the show a weekly thing and doing it on Wednesdays. So fingers crossed I can get something solid in the ground and, you know, probably make a statement here in the next couple of weeks. So I just want to say I love you guys and I appreciate it. And, you know, much respect to everybody who's campaigning and doing their thing and, you know, doing it being.
Thanks, Prince. We always love to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks, Flo.
Thank you, guys.
And it does sound like the call-in line on Blog Talk's being messed with a bit. So
definitely, definitely.
Well, I'm just checking my tools, and they are lowering our bandwidth right now on this Skype call. So that's probably since I'm hosting.
Oh, okay. But these are it's only the calls coming in through the Blog Talk studio. It's not.
To be honest, if they're going to mess up anything, it's our communications with the people that they want to interfere with the most. It's such powerful conversations like that are so strong.
Well, we've now got area code 818 unmuted. Area code 818.
Hello.
Hello.
It's me.
We can hear you, but you're cutting in and out a little bit there.
Okay, let me know if it gets too annoying.
What was your name?
My name is Cody. I'm from Hollywood, California.
Oh, hey, Cody.
Hi, how are you guys? Just want to say thank you for everything that you guys are doing. I was just going to speak for everyone. I'm sure everyone out there just loves you and adores you and appreciates everything you guys are doing to help us to see the light here, so thank you.
And we love and adore each and every one of you for helping us.
Yeah, thank you, Cody.
It all goes around. What goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. I just have a couple of quick questions. Real quick to Chris, I had a chance to listen to, well, first of all, I've been following since the very beginning. I have not missed a show. And I just want to say to the show you did with Julian, for us listeners who are on a spiritual journey, it was very, very helpful to hear what was going on the energetic side of things. Not that this isn't, but on the spiritual side, with the channeling and speaking with the angels and what they have to say about the extraterrestrials or the guys come in to help us out. So that was helpful to hear. That would be great if you had a show with Julian, with you guys, where we could actually call in and ask him some questions, because it also helps facilitate this journey that we have with the One People now.
Yeah. Julian's, we're kind of working up to something like that. Julian's extremely sensitive to the audience that he has. And it's, you know, for instance, when we have one of the we've expanded to one particular Skype room, and you've heard a couple of conversations we've had in there, if you've looked on the IPPT site, he needs to know who's in his audience that he's talking to. And before we start the recordings, we actually get everyone to say hello to him so he knows who he's got in the room. And So we're essentially, he's adapting to it, and that'll probably happen. But the conversations you've heard will be ongoing, and we'll keep them coming. Yep.
The other thing to do possibly would be to add Cody to the room.
Sure. Yeah. Look, Cody, if you want to email your Skype details, you can find me on Skype fairly easily. Just look for Chris Hales in Melbourne, Australia. You should find me there, and I'll add you to the room where we're having those conversations. That's the best thing to do.
Okay, thank you. That would be awesome. And then on another note, this Swiss Indo document, you made a comment, Chris, as well about the bond and oath that they have been the only people to come forward, not to mention that they have 80% of the world's wealth, but they came to us. And I think that says a lot about the energy that we are holding as opposed to the people that are just making noise, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely, Cody. You've got that in one. The energy that we're holding is what attracted them. And they obviously have not been attracted to all of the other sharks that are circling them. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I thought, you know, you guys have been talking a lot tonight about the One People. So, and I've noticed over the weeks people have been asking Heather and, you know, other people, what about a bridge, you know, for us to bridge from this old paradigm to the new paradigm? And people have been focused on money, and we've been like, well, don't focus on money. It shouldn't be the real thing here is about understanding who you are and awakening, and that's fine, but there's also an aspect of money that has to be considered, and it can't be ignored because it is part of life. Some people can, you know, work around it and quit their job and not worry about rent or mortgage because they don't have kids. But some people do have to be concerned with those things. And so I thought to myself, well, what can we do to encompass everybody's requirements here and moving forward with that in mind? And so I was like, well, if we just get the gold or the silver, we're just going to put it back into the old system and then it's going to keep going. And so I was thinking, well, what if they gave people a stipend or money as they transition into the new system that will not require money, that we use a different currency while they are educated on the new system? Because if everyone woke up right now, truth be told, we do not have a system in place to support them. Even me going to the grocery store trying to get foods that are not contaminated, there's very few items that are available to me, okay? And I study this every day, all day. It's my life. So what do we do for the people that don't understand, that are trying to transition, the people even like me? We need a way to move from this life and make it easier and happier while we are transitioning. We have that power to do that. And I feel like we need to brainstorm on
that. I think that's very much a part of the discussions.
Cody, that's central to the discussion. There has to be a bridge to allow an intermediate phase where people can take a breath, because it's going to be a big shift. And yes, that is absolutely central to what discussions we're now having in trying to move forward with Swiss Indo. So you're actually right on the program there. You're right in the current moment. And it's good to know that people are actually really getting it and see what the real issues are. I mean, the place that Heather's in is extraordinary, but we've got a whole planet full of people to get over there, and that's why I have to take the Swiss Indo offer really seriously, because it's the only thing in sight that has all of the ingredients that we need to get from this side of the bridge to the other side of the bridge.
Right, and also the marshals enforcing the new, I guess, laws of the universe, you want to say, that would be put in place that we should all be living by, should have always been living by, but, you know, I guess it's never too late. So we're starting now, but, you know, having that in place, and then systems, if we want to buy a car that actually, you know, is clean energy, if we want to buy food that's clean, all of those systems that, you know, once people wake up, they're going to want to, they're not going to want to eat stuff that has bad things in it. They're not going to want to, you know, have cars spewing out poisons that are killing people. And we need those systems in place so that we can actually switch over as quickly and as easily as possible. So I was like, I was reading through the document as best I could. Obviously, I, you know, it wasn't that easy to, and I'm a college educated person.
Yeah, look, Cody, kudos for you for reading the document, because I'm not sure that many people have even attempted it. It's pretty tough going, isn't it? There's so much stuff in there.
Yeah.
Not clear, in the sense of there's a massive amount of account information and what appear to be you know, definitions of financial entities involved, etc. And then you get down to the really kind of jagged English translations. Yeah. It's actually Indonesian. It's Javanese Indonesian, the original language. So we're looking at some pretty average translations of that. It makes it very difficult to interpret in fine detail, but did you get a sense of what they were trying to achieve with it?
I did. It sounds like they were putting something in place to enforce the new doctrine or paradigm that there's a white wonder boy who seems to be in charge of the Indonesian trust or funds that would be facilitating it, that half would be used to hold into the banks and the other half would be used for the world to change. And it was actually divided up into individually by countries, and they were, I believe it was broken up by the amount of the population per country, and so that
yes,
would determine how much money you would get. Yeah, and so
yeah, it's approximately it works out approximately $6 million per person if you work it out. That's the rough figure that they're going for, and see, that's enough to if this shift takes place the way that I personally envisage it, what they will do is take control of the banking system, strip away the bits that are not required, like the derivatives market, the stock market, etc., and repurpose it as transaction only, having zeroed all debt. So if you take the debt out of the equation and give people a sufficient money for several months at least, so they can absorb all of the information that's going to be pouring out, you know, you're starting to talk about a practical kind of bridge. But just how, you know, just how much money would be put in and how that would all be handled is as yet unknown. But the actual offer that Swissindo put up is for that amount, which is not, you know, it's not $5 billion. It's not, you know, it's not a huge amount, but it's enough to get us over this period of, you know, where all the really most dramatic changes happen in finance and politics and legal system, et cetera, which is why the Swissindo offer is really important. You know, it's come at exactly the right time. It's been rather a confusing introduction to them just through the circumstances, but, you know, I think we can make it work. I think they've got the right intent.
Well, I believe we can do anything that we want to at this point. I also believe that, you know, there's been some concern about us getting right back into the old system and giving it another push. So I was thinking, well, maybe we should just, they should just give money, like physical dollars, you know, that kind of money, and that money will not be good in the new system, just, you know, so that it runs out, you know what I mean, so that it doesn't give them a new push. I mean, there's ways around that where we don't have to wait to be helped. We can start a system now where we can help each other, and then also the old system can go out and the new system can come in, and, you know, no one's hurt. The people that have been in pain, that have been enslaved, can actually get some help ASAP, and I believe that that's the intention of the one people for the one people. So I would say, you know, in a general way, of course, that's just my opinion.
Yep, well, we're all putting forth our energy is in the form of opinion here, and that's absolutely our right. Now, look,
guys,
thanks, Cody.
Let's not take any more calls, because the quality of the line is almost...
Yeah.
undecipherable. So
we can only just understand you, Cody.
Yeah. Thank you, Cody, for calling in. Unfortunately, I had to mute you too because it's just deteriorating so much. Guys, we've gone half an hour over. It's been an interesting show. We've been all over the place. Just wanted to let everyone know that the oath and bonds that Chris just talked about before, they will be on the optin.com website in the next 24 hours, say. So you can have a look at them there and read through them and see why Chris was feeling emotional.
Yep.
Yes. They are a lovely document, I must say. Yep. Okay. Anything else before we sign off?
I'm good, Lisa.
I'm good.
You know, we've hit so many subjects today. It's we'll just hold the conversation over to tomorrow.
Okay. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow on the Collective Imagination Show at 10 a.m. for Australian Eastern Time and 8 p.m. Pacific. Is that right, Bob?
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern, sorry.
Yeah, not Pacific, yeah.
5 p.m. Pacific Time.
5 p.m. Pacific. I just want us to all be on the same time frame. I really do.
Yeah. If we're going to be in this one time, maybe that's what will happen. How would that be?
Yeah, maybe. That would be great.
Yeah, because we'll be doing instantaneous transport, so there won't be any of this flying for 20 hours. That'll work.
Oh, looking forward to that. Not a big fan of flying in the current form.
Nope.
Yes. All right, well, it's been awesome. So thank you, guys. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now, everyone.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.